to completely view verses from 1 Peter by Peter.
Here's the story.
possible. And we are remarkable by these last 2 minutes. God Himself, what He was able to present as spotless and glorious throne with exceeding joy. And so the Lord the Apostle Peter here is saying, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who, for which, according to His abundant mercy, it's only to the mercy of God that we owe our being here today. God's mercy. But not only is it His mercy, it is His abundant mercy. These are the ones that the Apostle uses by the Spirit, you know, are only to encourage our hearts more and more in these messages. Not only is it the mercy of God, but it's the abundant mercy. As if to stress the fact of the goodness of God towards us in every detail of our lives. But especially here, it is His abundant mercy that He has begotten us again into a lively or a living hope. And what a blessed thing this is, to have this living hope within our souls. A hope that someday we will realize that we have just knew the Son. And the Lord Jesus Christ shall say, my love, come away. And the journey will be over. And we shall be at home with the Lord forever. And so with this living hope, which has been begotten in our souls by the abundant mercy of God, is a hope which we have an anchor. An anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast. Why? Because it connects us with that blessed dominance in the glory. He who has been here, God's well-beloved Son, and through what He has done, He has lifted us up to Himself, and given us His living hope in Himself, and that they move on from day to day, rise upwards, heavenward and homeward, knowing that someday, very soon, hope shall be a place in sight. And we shall see Him, and we shall see Him, other than in chapter, we shall see Him face to face. And this hope has been begotten in our souls by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from among the dead. But the wonderful thing is to be established in the good and the blessedness of the resurrection of Christ. In the Acts of the Apostles, this is one fact that these early servants of God preached the resurrection from among the dead. Peter, you remember, you say, this Jesus of Nazareth, whom ye crucified, God has raised Him from the dead. Praise His name for that. God has raised Him from the dead. And not only so, but He's ascended up to the right hand of God in heaven. And that's where He is tonight. You remember in the first chapter of the Acts, when they were gathered together, He was taken from them and received up in a cloud into heaven. And as they stood gazing up there, wondering what had happened, the angel said, two men said to them, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, whom ye have seen go into heaven, shall so come like manner as ye have seen go. And that's the blessed hope that we have. And someday, very soon, He's coming back to take us to be where He is. Where He is. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. And it is a glorious fact to get into our soul the truth of the resurrection of Christ. Because everything is established in Him. All the promises of God, yea and amen, in Him. We have no connection with him, as it were, after the first brother, after the flesh. It's only in the risen man that we have accepted and accepted before the Lord. He has graced us with all the blessings that his heart can bestow upon us. And it's all found in this blessed, risen, glorious life. And so the living hope is that someday eventually you're going to be with him and like him forever. I don't want to talk about too much time. So this hope that we have is a connection also with this wonderful inheritance. You know, we're rich. We have an inheritance that's incorruptible and defiled, and it fails not away, and it's reserved in heaven for us. Well, what do we want with that? People who are going to know that we come here someday to inheritance of land and houses and things. And look forward to that day when we are able to come into that inheritance. But even although they get it, it passes on them too. It's not lasting, passes on to somebody else. But this inheritance that we have, it's incorruptible. They can't touch it. They cannot touch it. And that's a great thing. This is what Greek they often say to us. How much have you got that they cannot touch? And you know, it's a great thing to ask ourselves that. How much have you got that they cannot touch? Because you know, everything that we possess here, humanly speaking, death is the greatest separator. It takes everything from us, or it takes us from everything, as far as this side is concerned. And if we are not rich towards God on the other side, we're all poor after all. But here, this inheritance that we have is incorruptible. They cannot touch it. They work for that. More than that, it's undefiled. How often do we allow that we see that one time it was a beautiful inheritance? Some of these landed gentlemen, they had grand coastmen and the horses and the grand houses and the fields and everything in abundance. But through taxation and other things, it had deteriorated. And you went and looked around and the ground was warm grass and unkept lawn, everything upside down. Why? Because it's been defiled. But this inheritance that we have is undefiled. Sin cannot marry it. Can't be destroyed by sin at all. It's undefiled. And more than that, it fadeth not away. It lasts forever. As far as the inheritance goes. And more than that, it's reserved in heaven for you. You're not to keep it yourselves. It's reserved in heaven for us. What a wonderful God we have. What a wonderful Savior we have. And we've brought into all this wonderful range of blessings, for it is abundant mercy. Now it says, have you kept by the God of God? Good job doing it. Kept by the power of God. We could never keep ourselves, you know. And remember how I was compared with us. I said to the half days of people, the local team, football team. And we all met one night, and I told them I wouldn't be playing any more, but contacted. Oh, I said, and you'll have to kill that dog. They'll give you 3 weeks before you're back at India again. That was in 1909, and he was still carrying on about the drug of the ship. Quite a long number of years ago. God has kept his by his power. I was thankful we are in history, and you don't know that is there. Kept by the power of God. Through faith, through we've done anything ourselves, we must exercise faith in God as we move on from day to day. We cannot just say, oh, our God fails. No, we have to be exercised and of faith that God will look after us and keep us going until the end. Then it says, through faith and salvation, let it be the view of the last sight. No doubt the salvation is, I believe, complete salvation. When body, soul, and spirit, we shall be able to take a home to God. Salvation complete in its completeness. Then it says this book here, wherein ye greatly rejoice, though for a season, yet need ye, yet in heaven is through manifold temptations. I think you all know something of this. Sometimes we're cast out, you know, things come into our lives and cause us grief and sorrow. He knows all about it. And he knows best how to work it. And it's well for us to be everything in his hands. For the time being, maybe, but as he looks after us and keeps us going, tell our faith is much more precious than gold lining the sun. And it's a good thing for us to pass through these trials and to pass through the difficulties and to come out enjoying something of the favor and the love of God. And so it says, if need be, we are in heaviness. And then this wonderful verse comes in, it's always been a joy to my soul. Who not having seen, he loved. We've never seen the blessed Lord Jesus. I mean, in actuality, many, many years since he was here in person, we've never seen him, and yet we love him. That's faith, you know, isn't it? Though you now see him not, you rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. What a wonderful thing it is that here, although we are poor, we vessel at times, and although we've never seen our blessed Lord, we can have this joy in our souls. And we know he's in the glory. Full of the glory. Glory of the blessed person. That someday very soon we shall be in glory with him. Receive the end of your faith, the salvation of your souls. That is the complete faith. And we shall be taken home. Body, soul, and spirit. Taken home to be with him forever. And fullness of the joy. Now, if we know these things, and if we enjoy these things, Peter says here again, therefore, lay aside malice and all these things, and these don't belong to the Christian company. No, these are outside of what they can have. We are finished with these things. We are brought into this first sphere. For the love and joy and harmony and these things belong to the Christian circle. These things are not laid aside. Shouldn't come into the Christian company at all. Say, lay them aside, all these evil speakings and envies and hypocrisies. Lay them aside. Don't be occupied with them at all. Don't belong to the new circle. I was surprised with it. And George said the other day, that God has put the very best alongside the very worst, but he has given us the power within us to say yes to the best and no to the worst. You know, that's a great statement. That's a great statement. And this is what we have to say no to. No. These things are not to come amongst the Christians at all. Don't belong to the Christian sect, don't belong to the old God. That would lay them aside. And this is the human beings, the desires, the children of the world. In order that they have been growth in the soul, the great desire is the saints may grow. And it's a grand thing to see believers growing in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I can only come to us through the word, sincere, not of the world. Let us take it in and enjoy it, and thereby grow in it. The children used to say in the Sunday school, you know, read the Bible every day, grow, grow, grow. That's what's wanted. Want divine growth in the soul. Not just to be staying in the same place, here after here. Get on with it and enjoy it. That more and deeper way. And so that flourish, you know. If you have tasted the Lord is gracious, of course we have. We've tasted that the Lord is gracious. How gracious he has been to us all. I trust everyone here. And we've come here tonight. Has tasted something of the graciousness of the Lord. There was a grace of God down here, you know. The grace of God brings greatest salvation to all men. Have appeared in the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you've tasted of that grace, well, go and enjoy it. More and more. Now there are three little touches here that I would just like to point out. The first is, as Brother made a remark the other night, a threefold cord is not easily broken. And we have a threefold cord here in relation to the Lord Jesus Christ, which to me is not concerning. First of all, the preciousness of Christ to God. Then there's the preciousness of Christ as in himself. And then there's the preciousness of Christ to you and I. Now, these are perhaps not yet explained, and as the old one used to say, a better felt than dealt. But I think we can understand a little of the preciousness of Christ to God. It says here in verse 6, I'll come back to the other verses in a minute. Wherefore also I am in Zion. Let's follow up. Yes, verse 4. To whom coming as unto a living stone, this alone need of men, but chosen of God and precious. That's how good he is to God. He's chosen of God and is precious. I would like to be able to tell you something of the precious of Christ to God. But his language of all that the Spirit can supply. But in a little measure, we have been brought into the secret of a little of the preciousness of Christ to God. He was with the Father before ever time began. Loved by the Father, the love that he channeled. He said to himself, thou lovest me before the foundation of the world. So precious was he to the Father's heart. But when he was here, he was loved by the Father, wouldn't he? John tells us, the Father loved the Son. In all things in his hands. Then at his baptism, he was pointed out that this is my beloved Son, whom I find all my delight, how precious to the Father. Then, as we were reminded, on the Mount of Transfiguration, when the disciples were putting him on the same level as Moses and Elias, God saw you in it. That the presence of Christ to him would stand out alone. And he said to them, this is my beloved Son, hear ye him. God's full light centered in his Son. Someday you perhaps understand it more and better, but it's a subject which I feel like I haven't done very much, the presence of Christ to God. And he's also precious in himself. He's a wonderful guest for Jesus. Do you know that? You remember in the Canticles? They say that what is that if I was more than another beloved? And she said, he's altogether lovely. Altogether lovely. She said, here the top 10,000, the chief of the top 10,000. He's altogether lovely. In himself, there's a preciousness that only those who are encounter with him and enjoy him realize. And you know, sometimes in the darkest hours, in the loneliest nights, when he draws near to you and speaks wonderful comfort and cheer in your heart, and nobody else knows what you're passing through, he's a precious Savior. Hope that you all know him here as our own precious and present Savior. Then he's precious to every one of us. We all have our little ups and downs. But there's only one thing that stands out in all our lives. The precious of Christ to your own souls. And nobody can keep this promise. Nobody. And to you who believe, he is precious. Oh, what a wonderful person is Jesus. And as the days go on, we often say that may he become more precious to us. And that's how it is, and I'm sure tonight. And as a lot of these meetings together, the Lord Jesus Christ may become more precious to each of our hearts. Now just go back for a minute. The Savior, whom coming as a new living stone, disallowed of men, chosen of God and precious, he also has harvest stored in all hearts, spirits of house, and holy priesthood to offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. That's what we're brought to. A spiritual house to offer up spiritual sacrifices as a holy priesthood. You know, this is a privilege which is little taken up by many of your saints of God. Drawing near as a holy priesthood, constituted so right, is not assuring something or making ourselves to be what we're not. It's what we have been made. We have been constituted by the Lord Himself, by the work upon the cross, shedding of His precious blood, and the Holy Spirit being given. We are constituted and holy priesthood. Not like what we have around about us, certain individuals. They are the priests. They have a certain position. They only can fulfill certain functions. But the other saints of God, it's your privilege and mine to be a holy priest, a member of the priesthood family, to draw near and to offer up spiritual sacrifices to God, which are acceptable by Jesus Christ. What can we offer? What spiritual sacrifices can we offer? I'm sorry to let you be given all thy own have we given thee. We can only give what he's given us. And he's given us himself, Lord Jesus Christ. And all the precious of Christ, and what he has done, and his work before God, all these things, can be offered back as spiritual sacrifices which are acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. And I think it's a great privilege when we come together. Mostly, I believe, in the Lord's morning, after we've enjoyed, shall we say, the Lord, the Lord's Supper. As we have been doing it so beautiful this week, what it means. I think that the Spirit of God will lead our hearts and preach ourselves, bring sacrifices to God, which are acceptable by Jesus Christ, because He is the high priest over God's house. And as the offering priest, we bring is all what the God of heaven, what we bring is deep perfections, what he is to God the Father, what he has done for us. And these things become a reality in our souls, and we draw near, and we present spiritual sacrifices which are acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. That's the whole mission. And that becomes a privilege, because we have been brought into the enjoyment of the first chapter in these beautiful verses which we have looked at. Now just for a moment, you see then, they that believe on him shall not be confounded. Thank God for that. Shall not be confounded. You know, can't believe. You know it whom we have believed, Paul says. There's no mystery about it. We will not be confounded. People may try to argue and tell us things, but let us hold fast to this. He that believes on him shall not be confounded. They are safe and solid for him when we trust in him. And then it says, and you who believe it is precious. And then when it is a vision, the stone which the builders disallowed to see is made the head of the corner. This is God's doing. This is God's doing. He was disallowed in the fear of men. He didn't fit into the schemes at all. They wouldn't have him. They want to build a road structure without him. Not this man, they said, not this man at all. And they disallowed him, cast him out, wouldn't let him, rejected him. God has saved him. God has taken him out from the dead, among the dead, and he's been headed to God. The cornerstone, I understand, is a stone which gives beauty to the building. Keeps everything together, perfect harmony. And it gives character to the whole building. God has been head of the world. The stone which was disallowed by men. Then it says, but ye are chosen generation, a royal priesthood. This is another side of the priesthood. A royal priesthood. And a holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him that called you out of darkness into his marvelous power. But you know, it's a grand thing to go in first as a royal priest, and then to come out as a holy priest. Go in as a holy priest. I think it's very important to realize that God will have us go in to your inside place and then come out and we can tell something. The blessings of God is to link down in the lightness and the love of the liberty that this blessed person has got us into. Saying that you should show forth praise of him that called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Marvelous light. You know, we're highly privileged, aren't we? The saints of God being brought from the darkness into the light and given the ability by the Spirit of God to enjoy these special things. And I trust that after these meetings we've had together, that there may be a deeper impression of the blessedness of what has been done by the Spirit of God in our souls, and then we go back to our own places, and then the results that will bring glory and honor to the Lord Jesus Christ for what he has done for us. And we know that blessed those few of us